Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be following our gospel reading for this day as our text. My dear brothers and sisters, so you're planning a vacation. You're going to be gone for at least a week or so and are looking to book a hotel room for your stay. Of course, you're going to look for a number of amenities which you hope to enjoy. Let's say a pool and a spa. Maybe free breakfast, a location close to the places you hope to visit. Price, of course, is a concern. So you go to hotels.com or Expedia, Travelocity, or Trivago, just to name a few. You look at the number of locations that meet your criteria and price. But how do you choose? Some might look to franchise names that they're familiar with. Others might have stayed at one of them before and had a good experience at a different location. But what if you don't have a clue? Flip a coin? Hope for the best? Or do you look at the ratings? Ah, yes. Look at what others have said about their stay and what they thought. 5 stars? 4.5? 2? 1? Fascinating, isn't it? How does the same place, at the same time, under basically the same situations, get ratings across the board? To one, it was excellent. While to another, they'll never go back and wouldn't even consider letting their pet stay there. While there's really no accounting for tastes, it may have something to do with expectations. Some people have grown accustomed to certain amenities, while others are just plain happy not to have to make their beds. And this is what the hospitality industry has to deal with on a daily and seasonal basis. But I'm not here to ask you about your vacation plans or overnight accommodations or expectations. I'm here today to talk about your faith and your hope of salvation. You see, these aren't up for our ratings. They are the wonderful, gracious facts from our Savior Jesus. These are the things you should understand. How faith comes to us, what that faith holds to, and who gets the benefit from God's plan. The gospel writer John moves quickly in his gospel to Jesus during his public ministry. Chapter 1 tells us the Word became flesh, focusing on Jesus becoming one of us, the work of John the Baptist and the calling of Jesus' first disciples. Chapter 2 has us already with Jesus in Galilee, at the wedding at Cana, and the miracle of water being changed into wine. Then moving on to Capernaum near the Sea of Galilee, and then going south into Judea, to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. His reputation as a miracle worker had grown. Number of people were following him because they had witnessed the miracles. Which brings us then to our text, beginning with the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel. There we are introduced for the first time to a man by the name of Nicodemus. We don't know a great deal about him, except that he was a Pharisee, one of the leading religious orders among the Jews, and a member of the Sanhedrin, the religious ruling body for the Jews as well. His position alone would tell us that he was well-educated, well-versed in the scriptures, as well as probably well thought of among the people. We're told that he came to Jesus in the evening to talk with him. The evening meeting will always be a distinguishing characteristic for Nicodemus. But let's not be too hasty to judge the purpose of this meeting at night. There could be any number of reasons. Some believe he came at night because he was afraid of the reprisal by his peers. Why would he follow or listen to Jesus? Now, that may have been the case, but what if he just wanted private time with Jesus? During the day, Jesus was regularly busy with his preaching and his teaching. There were always crowds gathered around him. Remember the one time they had to let somebody down through the roof to get near him. So how would a person ever be able to have an in-depth conversation during the day? So we note that he came at night, greeted him politely by calling him Rabbi, which was giving him the honor of teacher or preacher, and then said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with them. It's debatable that when he said we, that he was talking for the crowds, the Sanhedrin, or just for himself. But regardless, he knew the traditions of his people, and that miraculous signs, as Jesus was performing, could only be attributed to someone sent from God. So Jesus, ever the master teacher, took Nicodemus from where he was in his understanding and his thinking and his faith to where he needed to be. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, to Nicodemus' ears, this has got to be confusing, to say the least. For him, the idea of being born again would have been applied to Gentiles who had converted to Judaism. They were the ones to be considered born again. The Jews themselves didn't need to be born again, since they were descendants of their father Abraham. Their lineage meant they were saved. Their bloodline meant that they were saved. So as Jesus now tells Nicodemus that he must be born again, well, he was a Jew. He didn't need that. And if he did, all he could think of was going back into his mother's womb and literally going through the birth process all over again, which Jesus then explained, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Nicodemus, you see, was born with the same malady that you and I were born with. We were all born with our sinful nature, what we have at times referred to as original sin. As such, we were hostile to God, enemies of God, and lost eternally from his presence. That was Nicodemus' problem. Our problem. Matter of fact, the problem of the whole world. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, working in us through word and sacrament, or as he was phrased it, through water and the Spirit, are we able to be born again. We needed to be born again. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We could do nothing for ourselves. Then God stepped in. With the pouring of water connected with the Word of God, we became his in our baptism. Through a wonderful miracle of God's love, a miracle we can comprehend no more than we can tell where the wind comes from or where it's going, God made us his own. He washed us clean of our sins, forgiving our every past, present, and future sin. That's how we came to faith. Not on our own, not by our own decision, but by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus should have known that. And let me be so bold as to say that you and I should know this. Why? Because Jesus told us. He was the one who came from heaven. Jesus was the one who testified to the Father's plan. He was the one who would be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him would be saved. Yeah, Nicodemus certainly should have been familiar with the illustration of the Israelites in the wilderness. And when they rebelled against the Lord punished them with venomous snakes whose bite was fatal. And as Moses interceded for the people, the Lord provided them with a means of escape. Moses was told to fashion a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. When anyone was bitten by one of those snakes, all they had to do was look at the snake on the pole, and their life would be spared. Please note, they didn't have to touch the snake. They didn't have to kiss the snake, sacrifice to the snake, do anything for the snake. They only had to have faith that by looking at the snake, they would be healed. Life was dependent for them on their faith. Eternity is dependent not on our work or plans or our deeds, but on our faith in the one who, like that serpent, was also raised between earth and heaven on a pole we call the cross, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. That, my friends, is what faith holds to. The sacrifice of the Son of God who came from heaven, became one of us, took on himself the penalty of our faults and sins and failings. For as he continued to share, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Such are the things we should understand. Such are the things that should guide our thinking and our actions and our lives. And such were the things that Nicodemus needed to know, and we need to know and review as well. With all his training and all his knowledge, Nicodemus questioned who Jesus was and what the work of the Messiah would be. He continued, at least for a while, to believe that only the Jews were the chosen people of God, and only they would be saved. When Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I can't say for sure, but this might have really taken Nicodemus' breath away. The idea of the world being included and whoever believes having eternal life was hopefully too wonderful a thing for him to take it all in at once. And let's be fair, sometimes it's too hard for us too, isn't it? We have our divisions, dissensions, racism and hatred all around us. We have less than positive opinions of those who are different from us. On what basis? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's regularly been said by a lot of people that all our blood is red, regardless of the color of our skin. More important than that is to know that Christ spilled the same blood for each of us as he did for everyone else. And we needed it. All of us did. God made sure we knew it as he made us his own through his Holy Spirit, through baptism. And none of it depends on us. We look and see with the eyes of faith, the one on the cross who makes us right with the Father. For God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son for us, that we might never perish. He did this for the world. These are the things we should understand. These are the things we should understand because these are the truth of God brought to us by Jesus, brought to us by God through Jesus for an eternity. These are the things we have been told. These are the truths of life. Know them, live them, and by all means share them. Amen. And the peace of God that comes to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with glory, in glory with our Savior Jesus. Amen.